until 6, this is Drive with Paul Murray.
6 PM. Well, I suppose it's been mixed blessings for the WA tourism and hospitality industry in the last couple of days. Today, as we've talked about earlier on this program, and Peter Bell talked about also during afternoons, the article in the New York Times, which will get massive exposure internationally for Perth, with a writer talking in glowing terms about the city of Perth, saying this is a city embodying all things right about cities. We've talked about that a fair bit. But yesterday, of course, the news that Qantas is in effect turning its back on Perth in terms of international travel, and within a couple of months there will be no Qantas international flights leaving Perth. That's got many people in the tourism industry a little concerned. I thought we'd discuss both of these issues today with Bradley Woods from the Australian Hotels Association. Bradley, of course, is one of the key figures in tourism and hospitality in WA. G'day, Bradley.
Hi, Paul. G'day.
Let's start with Qantas. What's your reaction to the withdrawal of Qantas's overseas flights from Perth?
Well, I think the initial reaction was shock. There was no indication from Qantas that they were at all considering cancelling these flights at all, Paul. I suppose the first shock in the system was late last year when the deal with Emirates came through and Qantas pulled out 50% of their direct flights in return for Emirates covering the route. So it means that Qantas, which, say, in 2011-12 had about 200,000 a year going from Singapore to Perth, because they halved the flights, went down to 100,000. And now, with this cancellation of the route as of yesterday's announcement, which will happen May next year, there's another 100,000 seats that will be cancelled out of the system. What it means is that there's no full-service carrier flying an Australian flag from Singapore to Perth or Western Australia. So any marketing or benefits in promoting Perth or Western Australia as a state from an Australian flag being an airline that's a full-service airline just won't exist anymore.
What's been happening on the Singapore route in terms of inbound tourism, which is, of course, the interest to us because that's bringing people to spend their money here in Perth? What's been happening on that route?
Well, that route in particular has grown tremendously over the last decade. If you looked at the figures from 10 years ago, 2004 to now, the number of Singaporeans travelling, so looking at it as tourists travelling from Singapore to WA, on the Perth route has grown by 42%, well exceeding what you would think is a CPI or a natural growth. It's been certainly a great story, and it's been one of the success stories in inbound routes. Singapore is particularly important to us because those travellers are good spenders. They like to stay in hotels and they go out to restaurants and bars and they buy retail and they shop. They attend places like the zoo and various other services. And what it means is that with 100,000 less Singaporeans travelling, Singaporeans not travelling, because of course the 100,000 seats is made up of Australians as well, we are going to miss out substantially.
Wouldn't they just come in on other carriers? Why wouldn't they just, instead of flying from Singapore to Perth on Qantas, they'll come in on other carriers?
Well, they may well do. They may well do, but we've got no way of guaranteeing that 100,000 seats that are coming into Perth on Qantas are going to automatically be taken by the other low-cost carriers. The other side of the coin is that the airlines travelling those routes are very much the budget airlines, very much the lower end of the market
and
airlines.
They're not ones who will advertise Perth as a destination.
Unlikely to have a really strong joint cooperative relationship unless we start a very strong campaign to try and build that now. What's strange about all this, Paul, is that late last year, Tourism WA and Qantas entered into a joint marketing arrangement that's worth millions of dollars in terms of the expenditure to the state. And Qantas, obviously, it's just very strange that that route's now been dumped in the process. We've got what is a $6 or $7 million joint marketing campaign with them, and there was no reference, no consultation or no discussion with the sector around pulling out this important route for Western Australia. The other thing is that that route is also a hub or it's a stopping point from Europe and potentially other carriers fly into Singapore.
Okay, let's move on to some better news, and that's this article, incredible article in the New York Times by the writer Baz Dreisinger. Baz is a woman. She came to Perth clearly in January. It was a good time to be here. There was a lot happening in the city, obviously. It was festival time. Plus, of course, we haven't had a drop of rain, so she talked about these magnificent blue skies. Peter Bell spoke to her today, Bradley. I'll just, if you didn't get to hear, I'll just play a bit, and also for those listeners who might not have, Peter Bell's discussions with this journalist from the New York Times.
Overall, there's a lot to do, and it was just remarkably functional and efficient, I think. And as I'm certainly a New Yorker through and through, and I love New York City very, very much, but it was a nice change to be somewhere where everything felt extraordinarily sort of easy, down to the free public transport and the subway system, which I was in awe of, just for its pristine cleanliness and ease.
Baz, can I ask, did you find it expensive here?
I did. I mean, again, being used to New York, and I travel obviously quite a bit for the work that I do, I wasn't tremendously surprised. I'll tell you what really shocked me was the price of drinks. I think the food was expensive, but not hugely different from New York. It was kind of amazing to be charged $20 a cocktail.
We're used to people saying Perth's clean and lovely and the whole bit, but the sort of terms in which she spoke about us, Bradley, was very different, you know, and maybe this is, you know, that we're the frog in the hot water. We don't realise what's happening around us. Let me just, I'll tell people how this article starts, right? This is in the New York Times, one of the world's, you know, sort of most recognisable and famous papers. She says this: conjure up a city embodying all things right about cities. Assuming you lean towards the progressive, I'll wager your rendering includes the following: multiple parks and waterfronts, spotless subways and free public buses, restaurant menus with organic, locally sourced food and wine, cool bars in heritage buildings, and pop-up everything from farmers markets to cinemas and yoga. Welcome to Perth, the capital of this, she says. Could a city really be so easy, breezy, green and pristine, so positively livable? I thought Williamsburg was hipster heaven. It pales beside Perth. What do you make out of that?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. You hit the nail on the head. I think it's exactly that, the frog in the boiling water. We don't notice ourselves how great our environment is or how we've changed. And I think this is a fantastic opportunity for reflection to come back at us from the mirror, but from a different perspective, for someone who's not been here before, to describe WA or Perth in particular, even the way she describes our suburbs. She calls them the urban villages, the city's urban villages. And you know, she describes what we call the forest, where, you know, forest chases, the city's main square is a fanciful urban delight. And it's that type of descriptors, I think, that Americans are going to love, particularly New Yorkers. And the way in which she's talked about the growth of hospitality and the food that she experienced here, it's a fantastic reflection that, well, I think every West Australian who's interested in this should have a read of it. It's on your website, Paul. I think it's a fantastic thing that you guys have replicated it there.
It's the sort of thing we talked about 20 years ago when we went to San Francisco. Like, I read this line in here. She says, I ate a divine organic breakfast at the hotel, eggs and smoked salmon on homemade rye, accompanied by portobello mushrooms and what tasted like the freshest coffee ever ground. Australian coffee culture is serious. And I thought, people never used to talk about us like this.
No, they didn't. And I think now what's happened is that we've grown up with it. We've actually matured and we've learnt from other areas of the world, and we've adapted and brought those cultures but mixed them with our own lifestyle and the environment, and what we've got now is world class. And that's what we keep saying, that we need support from the West Australian government to up the tourism WA marketing budget so we continue to sell and preach this story. And it's fantastic, and I think Tourism WA was involved in this journalist's tour and escorting and looking up to point her in the right direction. And this is a fantastic effort that Tourism WA can deliver and achieve, but they need the right resources for it. I also think that it's a fantastic reflection for Perth and WA people just to have a look at it and for us probably to have a realisation or an appreciation of what's in our own backyard from a very different perspective. It's a fantastic article, and I think we'll see a lot of positive media come out of it and visitation.
Yep, there's been plenty of positive media on 6PR about it today. Good on you, Bradley. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Bradley Woods, Chief Executive of the Australian Hotels Association. 9211 882 is the number. Coming up next, we're going to turn our attention